It's business up top, party down below, sweatpants, no pants, gym shorts. Who cares, right?
It's time for the Profitability Show. Inspiring conversations with successful business leaders, artists, and entrepreneurs that will get your blood pumping and your creative juices flowing. We'll focus on the latest and the greatest tools, techniques, strategies, and advice you can apply right now to achieve more success and improve your bottom line, no matter what business you're in. The Profitability Show, the business podcast that brings you less jargon and more margin. With your host, digital product strategist and innovator, Nick Knight.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of The Profitability Show. I'm your host, Nick Knight, and to kick off the premiere episode, I wanted to make sure my guest was someone who could really deliver the goods. So I invited nationally recognized marketing expert and author of the Amazon number one bestseller, Do It Marketing, 77 Instant Action Ideas to Boost Sales, Maximize Profits, and Crush Your Competition, David Newman. David runs a marketing and training firm dedicated to helping speakers, authors, consultants, and high-fee experts maximize their influence, impact, and income. His instant action marketing advice has been featured and quoted in the New York Times, Investor's Business Daily, Sales and Marketing Management, Selling Power, Forbes, Fortune, Entrepreneur Magazine, and hundreds of media outlets throughout North America. You can also find out more about David and all our guests, the show itself, and also join the conversation and tell us about your business at our website, profitabilityshow.com. And now, let's get schooled by David Newman. Well, David, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm super excited. You know, David and I, for those of you who don't know, we are in a mastermind group together. And so I have learned for the past year or so that this man knows his stuff when it comes to marketing. So you guys are in for a treat. I'm super excited to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Nick. Great to be here. And it's our group is awesome.
Our group is awesome, isn't it? It's fantastic.
For
and
sure.
I don't know why I'm in the group, to be quite honest, but I'm happy to be there. I don't think I'm contributing as much as you are, but that's okay.
I think that's the hallmark of a good mastermind group is all five of us have no idea why we're there. It's like, what the world do you guys know that I don't know, or vice versa? And it's a beautiful supplementary and complementary relationship.
That's right. I'd say that in as far as the profitabilities go for this podcast, which is our kind of our theme of this podcast is profitabilities. I would say number one out of the gate, if you don't already belong to a mastermind, there's something you can do today. Find some people that you respect and say, hey, what do you think about starting up a mastermind? Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. See, first 60 seconds, value, value, value. They can just tune out because that's all they need to hear.
We're done.
So go form a mastermind group and we'll see you guys later.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Goodbye.
Yep, that was fun.
So, David, for those of the people who are listening who haven't yet been enchanted by the awesomeness that is David Newman, you are a best-selling author of this book, which if you're watching the clip on YouTube, you can see this is Do It Marketing. And the reason I'm holding it up to the camera is because I just wanted to show, first of all, I like to brag. Look at mine signed. Thank you very much. Signed by the author. But more so, look at some of the pages in here, because one of the things that I love is when people know how to produce a book and make it in a way. Do you see that? How that is? Big, bold topics. And the subline to this is 77 instant action ideas to boost sales, maximize profits, and crush your competition. And you go through this and they're just big, bold 77 ideas you can use, written in a way that anybody can understand. It's really one of my favorite marketing books. And so congratulations on the book. And if you don't already have it, you can get it on Amazon and you can check our show notes for the link to that. But this is a great book. But tell us a little bit now about your other business, because you're all over the place. And I always enjoy, you know, I signed up for your newsletter, obviously, because I like to keep an eye on what you're doing. But you've got webinars, you've got things going all the time, you've got courses. So tell us a little bit about your business, how it works.
It's true. So just a very quick snapshot of the evolution. I used to do two and only two things when I started my business. It was just speaking and training, training and speaking. No products, no digital products, no live connected products, no books, no nothing. And it was basically, even though it was, you know, high price, it was still And initially, it wasn't even high price, but whether it's low price or high price, it was time for dollars, right? It was the time for dollars equation. So then in 2008, I started doing group coaching and teleseminar-based programs. Still doing a fair amount of speaking, still doing a fair amount of training, but I realized when I launched that first group coaching, which was online, teleseminar-driven, we used the phone, we used Yahoo Groups because there was no Facebook. Facebook wasn't quite open to the public yet. It was still for college students, and I put this together with like duct tape and spit and a prayer, and it went really, really well. And I started to do more and more virtual programs, teleseminar-driven programs, webinar programs, and then, because I'm a slow study, I realized, you know, I could also use teleseminars and webinars to market some of my programs. So in 2011, 2012, I started doing a whole lot of teleseminar marketing and webinar marketing, partly to fill my coaching practice and then partly to fill my growing collection of online courses and live-led group coaching programs. So fast forward to today, I'm almost 100% virtual. 100% virtual online programs for speakers, authors, coaches, independent professionals, thought-leading professionals, folks that have a message, folks that have something to say or something to sell. And that is my online empire as we speak.
That's fantastic. So if you're looking, if you're listening to the show and you're looking to take the knowledge in your head and turn it into products and know how to get those out to market, you need to get a hold of David Newman and talk to him. It's really amazing. You know, I see the volume of output that you do. And I can't match it. It's pretty impressive. Tell us, like, what's a typical day for you? How does that work?
Well, I'd probably be a lot more productive if there was such a thing as a typical day. So let me address two things. One is about prolificness, if that's a word, about being prolific. And the other is about productivity, which, So the prolific I can help with. And I would argue that I'm not really prolific, but I am awesome at repurposing, reusing, reimagining, and redeploying content. So not to blow smoke up your butt, my friend, but when you have a platform like Revisit, any speaker, any author, any coach, any artist, any entertainer already has a wealth of content that they may be deploying in only one channel. And maybe that's live performance. Maybe that's what I used to do, which is live speaking and live training. But we already have all that asset. We already have all of that material. So why can't we blog about it, interview about it, video about it, audio about it, put together a Revisit package, which is a combination of audio, video, PDFs, downloads, all of which can be instantly updated. I'm doing the Revisit commercial now because it's so awesome. But think about repurposing, redeploying, reimagining, and reusing some of the content that up until a certain point, maybe that certain point's even today, you've only been distributing in one way. And that one way, sadly, is not scalable. It's not replicable. It's not really monetizable. I just made up a whole bunch of words right there. And so that's the key to being prolific. People say, man, you're everywhere. I said, well, I'm not everywhere. I'm the best that I can say is I'm everywhere where you are. I'm everywhere where my target market is. So if you're a speaker, consultant, coach, author, solopreneur of some kind, you know, I try and be everywhere where those folks are because that's my tribe, that's my market.
Yeah, it's really amazing, David, because I think that that's something that I'm just going to put a little point on it, that's, you know, repurposing stuff that you've done. And one of the things that I tell people that I consult is, you know, they're kind of like, I want to get started in the digital product space, you know, what should I start with, you know, And, you know, people look at writing a book as like this insurmountable, you know, Herculean effort. You know, it's climbing Mount Everest. I got to start a book. Where do I even start? And I tell people, you know, start with video. You can sit down in front of your camera, much like we're doing right now. Like, for example, I could take this podcast. Let's just say it wasn't a podcast. Let's say this was an interview I'm just doing with you because of all the stuff that we're going to get out of this, all the value bombs. And I could take this video and I could cut it up into pieces and give little pieces on social media. I could then take the same video and have it be a long form that somebody could pay for. I could take the same video and strip out the audio and turn it into a podcast. I could take that same video and have it transcribed. And now I've got it in written form. So, and as you take those, you know, those different elements, it's all coming from that same source and being able to repurpose it, you know, across the whole spectrum and then use it in all the different channels that you want to reach people. So I'm a big, big fan of the idea of repurposing. Now, that being said, since I watch all of your stuff, I attend your webinars, I'm a big David Newman Periscope fan because you always have really fun Periscopes. Sometimes you even wear a clown wig. And
it's true.
it's true. And because I pay attention to all of your different channels, I am not noticing the repurposing. So you're doing it very cleverly because I'm not feeling like, hey, wait a minute, I saw that was a video and another thing, or that was a written thing.
Well, so, I mean, you're right. And by the way, repurposing does not necessarily mean repeating. So I may be repurposing something from a saleable product that's kind of behind my paywall, but I'm doing a little segment of it like you're, you know, just like exactly like you're saying, that I segment that out. It's already been written. It's already been recorded. It's already been talked about. It's already been coached about, but I just never put it on, you know, a Periscope or a Facebook Live or a Blab Chat or an interview like this. So, you know, there's kind of repurposing in secret, that it's not about repeating. It's not about, you know, literally rehashing. So when I say reimagine, repurpose, reuse, recycle, just like when you have a recycled piece of paper, it doesn't have the writing on it that it had the first time. It's been put through a process. And now it's like, oh, look, it's a clean piece of paper.
And now it's something new.
Only you and I know what the writing was that used to be our grocery list.
That's excellent. So let me ask you a question. So as entrepreneurs, you know, everybody's, you know, either have started their own business or they're just now starting a business. They want to get into the space. They've been in the space for a little while. You know, I think a lot of us feel like we're alone in this struggle and, you know, it's really difficult and we're going, wow, you know, these guys make it look so easy. You know, Nick's got his platform and David's got his giant consulting business and all. It must be so easy for those guys. It's really hard for me. And the fact is, we're all struggling to get this thing off the ground. We're all struggling to find a connection. Can you tell us, did you have a time where it was really difficult for you? And like, and if it was, like, how did you manage to weather that storm and get to where you are today?
Well, so let me just, you know, just we'll separate the fact from the fiction here. Number one, you are alone. And number two, no one else is having any struggles except you. So good luck, have fun. And I'm not sure what your problem is. No, so that's quite the opposite, of course. The first 3 years of my business were a complete and utter train wreck. And I mean like as bad as you can imagine, financially, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. You know, the first 3 years of my business, and again, I talk about this in my webinars and I talk about this kind of my backstory. I was so lost and so clueless and spending money hand over fist on all the wrong things. I got into some nightmare partnerships from hell with some really narcissistic sociopaths, two of them, because I didn't learn the lesson the first time, so I went and did it again. Money was not coming in, and so luckily my wife worked. I took some money from my parents. I mean, this is not something to be proud of. You know, I had cash infusions from family just to keep the business on life support, year one, year two, year three. I wouldn't recommend it. I would not recommend it. And I think where that comes from, it's not just that I'm hopelessly inept. Although there was a lot of that too. I had no focus. I had no topic. I had no niche. I had no focal point for my expertise. I went out there in the marketplace as a complete generalist. And the reason for that is because my corporate career, which is very successful 10-year corporate career as an internal consultant, internal trainer for big technology companies and big professional services firms, that's what they paid me for. I was a generalist. And so I figure, okay, I know how this works. I'll just hang out my shingle and I'll go out and I'll do 30 different programs just like I did for the big consulting company. Well, that was not the recipe for success. Not having a niche, not having a focus, and just flailing from one thing to the other. Entrepreneurial ADD, right? Attention deficit disorder. All of those were problems where my hand went up going guilty, 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 and guilty. So it definitely was not a walk in the park. And I still to this day, you know, I'll go through these 2 or 3 month periods where something worked really well and now it's not working so well. You know, big launch of a product or a program, and then the next time, crickets. And then the next time, you know, not bad again. So it's, you know, here's the thing. I think if you're on the entrepreneurial journey, or even if you're on the life journey, you have a job, you have a career, you're a high-flying executive, doesn't matter. I mean, ask Jeff Hazlett, right? Talk about the ups and downs of the executive track. You're always going to hit a bump in the road. And I think what separates the successful people from the folks that kind of fall off the wagon, every successful person experiences failure. But the truly successful ones never stay there very long. They always reboot, regroup, get into massive action, change things up, and they realize maybe sooner than the rest of us that something's not working and something has to change. And guess what has to change? It's the person sitting in your chair and the person sitting in my chair. It has to change right here. So either our mindset or our skill set or our tool set needs to be upgraded, revised, throw out what's not working, embrace some new strategies, and pick it right up again. You know, there's no easy path. There's an internet meme, right, Nick, about the path to success. And the myth is it's point A, point B, and then there's a straight line. And then the other panel of the cartoon is, here's how it really works, and it's this crazy jumble of squiggly lines
it looks like a
and detours
pile of spaghetti.
And crossover. Well, welcome to our world.
That's it. Well, I want to touch on something you said, because I think that was a really, really significant point you made, which was you started out your business as a generalist, and what you did was you niched down and you found, you know, and it's really hard when you're a generalist, because, I mean, Revisit started the same way. We said, you know what, this is for everybody. Everybody needs this. Every business can use this. You know, and we kind of went out there with a fire hose broadcast style. And, you know, and when you're for everybody, you're not for anybody, right? So then we drilled down as well to kind of focus in on the people who actually know that they want to create products, that they really want to market them and all those things. So we had to kind of narrow down. Now, that doesn't mean that it's still not for everybody. And people will discover it and they'll find ways to use it themselves. But our message needed to be directed in one place so that we could actually hit some targets. You can't just, you know, take a handful of arrows on your bow and shoot them and hope you hit the target, right? You need to have one arrow pointed at one direction. So I think that's really important. You started as a generalist. Then you said, you know what? There's a common thing that I'm teaching that's for a common person, what they call in marketing, obviously, an avatar. And you said, I know who that person is. I'm going to start talking to them. So tell us about that. Who's your avatar? Who did you start speaking to? When did it change?
Well, you know, so my avatar is essentially me back 14 years ago when I started. And I just leaned over to pick up a book because it's so on point with what you just said. So once I find it, I can hold it up and share it with you. It's this great book called Essentialism. So Essentialism by Greg McKeown. And I want to, when you said about the arrow going in 12 different directions, man, that is so on point. Let me just see if I can find this really quickly. Here we go. Can we get a shot of this here?
Yeah, okay. I see that.
See this? So this was me. This was me. And this is exactly what you just started talking about, which is the 12 directions by 3 inches. And then this, hopefully, is what you've become, what I've become, right? This big arrow here. Same energy, same time, same effort, same commitment in one direction. And look how far you go.
Wow,
look how far you go with that. So that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So the folks that I now focus on exclusively, I have a nickname for them. It's SAC. It's the SAC market. And SAC is spelled S-A-C-C, and it stands for speaker, author, coach, consultant. So, you know, everything that I do is for David Newman circa 2002, right? Maybe it's someone who is along the entrepreneurial journey. Maybe it's someone fresh off the boat, like I was, fresh off the corporate boat. But someone who wants to establish a thought leadership-based business, meaning they're selling their smarts, right? Meaning that they're a consultant, author, expert, professional service provider, someone of that nature. So I get calls all the time saying, hey, David, I'm running a restaurant, yeah, and I love your book. Can you coach me? Do you have a program for me? Don't do anything with restaurants. Don't do anything with hotels. Don't do anything with any kind of bricks and mortar retail store. Don't do anything with industrial or manufacturing or distribution type companies. That's not what I know. That's not who I'm trying to reach. And that's not the best and highest use and the best and highest application of my strategies. The best and highest use of my strategies that I share with people is for people like me. Turn back the clock to 2002. So sometimes, you know, if you think back to what's the solution, what's the product, what's the service, what's the program that you wish you could have had access to when you were starting out or when you were struggling with this particular challenge or problem, guess what? If you need that thing to be invented, probably hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of other people need that same thing, and then they would jump, they would just leap at the offer to help them in that specific way that you needed help back in the day when you were wrestling with the same problem.
That is so true, because you know that's very much like the story of how we came up with our platform. You know, if I think back to myself around 2000, well, as early as 2005, when I first did my foray into online marketing of products, that was crazy days, and it was terrible. And then, again, more recently was in 2009, 2010, when I launched a product and then, it was just beset with all kinds of problems, and I needed the solution that we have created today. So it's exactly true. I say, I can look back at myself and say, I was the customer that was going, where's the solution? I need this to work, in a way that I can stay in business. And, so yeah, that's great advice. If you can't imagine your avatar, you might be your avatar, I think is the lesson.
Absolutely
here.
Right. For sure. And, but people discount that. I think one thing that we need to mention as far as profitability is please, please, please don't discount that. Don't say, well, I needed it, but, you look at huge companies, Under Armour, Spanx, all these different kind of companies that, necessity is the mother of invention. Well, even Nike sneakers, the story of Nike is that Bob Bowerman, something like that, the running coach, he couldn't find any good sneakers that were light enough for him and his athletes that he was a running coach. He bought industrial rubber. He had a kitchen waffle iron, and he made the first pair of shoes because he and his team needed the shoes to work the way he wanted them to work.
That's
and
awesome.
So today we have Nike. So don't underestimate the power of this. It could start in your kitchen. It could start with your waffle iron. It could start with, man, I like to say that the products and services and programs that I do today, I only created them because I willed them into existence for myself. That because they didn't exist, I had to create them. And that's not egotistical. That shows how much of a gap and how much of a need there was for me and tens of thousands of people like me back when I was lost and clueless and wandering in the woods.
Oh, absolutely. That's great. So let's jump back into some of the strategy that you're using today to kind of reach those target audience that you've kind of selected. So, like as I mentioned earlier, I see you on. I just saw you on Facebook Live like a couple of days ago. I saw you. I watch you regularly on Periscope. There's email marketing. There's all these things going. All these different channels you've got going. So, what's in your opinion? What's working today? What's working in marketing right now to reach the top of the funnel people? And what's working that keeps you connected to the people that are in the funnel for you?
Well, I think that for the people that are in the funnel, it's about sharing and shipping regularly. So, the ideas that are stuck between your head are not helping you market your business or grow your platform. The ideas that are stuck on your hard drive, that are doodled in your notepad, that are stuck in your journal, that are on your someday maybe list, all these great ideas. And then you'll ask someone, well, when's the last time that you sent out an email? Oh, well, it's been about 6 months. When's the last time you posted something on your blog? Oh, well, that's been about a year. When's the last time that you shot a video or that you interviewed someone that you admire? Oh, I've never done that. It's like, well, what? No, I got a lot of ideas. I got plans. I got whiteboards. I got notebooks filled with stuff. If you don't put it in front of your peeps, It doesn't exist.
Good.
So my first piece of advice is you got to show your face. You got to show your voice. You got to show your heart. You got to show your soul. People buy you not only for the products and services that you offer, increasingly, and this is true even with big companies, they buy you for who you are. They buy you for that persona that you project into the marketplace. Whether that's personal, whether that's the face and the voice of the CEO, whether that's the face and the voice of an independent small business owner, whether that's the face and the voice of a huge brand with the way that their commercials are, the Geico commercials, the GoDaddy commercials, you can get the same thing on a massive scale if you're a huge company with a big advertising budget. But the good news is you don't have to be. You know, this is that we have in your office right there, Nick, and in my office right here. Turn back the clock to just even 1980. We don't need to go back to the 1950s and 1960s. Turn the clock back to 1980. We have tens of millions of dollars. We have a television studio. We have a printing press. We have a broadcast medium. We have blogs. We have video. We have social media. We have all of the tools of mass communication on our desktop and even not desktop, on our phones. On our phones, we have these mass, you know, you could reach thousands and tens of thousands of people on this little guy. And then when you say, well, when's the last time you shot a video? When's the last time updated your Revisit product? When's the last time you published a PDF or a new lead magnet on your website? Oh, I don't have time. Are you kidding me? This is the attention economy. We're living in the attention economy, which means simply, first, you have to earn their attention. And then and only then do you get to earn their money.
That is great. Wow, that is really fantastic. I love that. The attention economy. Is that yours?
I don't know if it's mine. It kind of filtered into my brain. I'm sure that other people have said it in different ways, shapes, and forms. But
I'm attributing it to you. I think it's
not one of my slides. So if I'm stealing it, I'm stealing it unknowingly.
I love it. The attention economy is totally true. You know, and so speaking of attention, so one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, okay, and I am completely, for those of you listening, you know, to this show, I am so completely guilty of what you just said. I've got, you know, first of all, I've got too many blogs that have, you know, started, and it's hard to maintain all of them. You know, they have different purposes, and they reach different audiences for different projects, but there's too much. I fall down all the time on sending out emails. You know, I'm one of those, I'm email averse. You know, I always shy away from sending emails that I think people are going to like go, I'm so sick of hearing from this guy. So I only kind of try and send off emails if they really have some value in them. And, in which case then, you know, it actually works against me because you're out of sight, out of mind. So, but anyway, so I'm completely guilty of the things that you're talking about. However, I am trying to embrace some of the more fluid marketing technologies, things that are like, hey, I can just jump on, you know, now Snapchat, I'm, you know, a little bit behind the curve on that, but I am trying to like understand it. But, you know, like Periscope and things like and Facebook Live, you know, I've started to do that as well, where you can be in the moment and you can do it and you feel like, you know, and I see people, I can see right on the Periscope screen that, you know, people are listening and, you know, they're interacting with me. So that's like direct feedback. And so those things are really interesting for me. So I wanted to ask you, getting back to the attention economy, as marketers, what should we be paying attention to right now, in your opinion? What's working for you in the social channels, or what's working for you to get results?
Well, I will defer that answer to people way smarter than me, because I just came back from Social Media Marketing World.
I heard it was great.
In San Diego. And all of these gurus and all of these agencies and all of these consultants and authors and people who are living, breathing, eating social media all day long for a living, it was two words. It was live video. One guy even said that in 24 months, his prediction is Facebook will be 90% video. People won't be doing text posts. People won't be posting cute little cat pictures. It's going to be cat videos. And it's going to be people videos, and it's going to be videos of you doing whatever, and Facebook is going to become the social media live video platform. And I think the reason for that is because video and conversation and engagement goes so far beyond text. So our buddy Jay Baer said that he had this prediction 3-4 years ago. He said, on the internet, not just social media, but on the internet, period, text is going away. And everything is moving to visuals and video, pictures and video. That was 3-4 years ago. Now, pictures, like Instagram, we're not sure where that's going. Instagram will probably be a video platform. They've already have like, I think, 60 seconds of video on Instagram. Snapchat now has 10 seconds of video in addition to still pictures. Facebook is betting very, very, very heavily on video, video, video. So whether it's you as the business owner, you as the artist, you as the entrepreneur, you as the executive, guess what? We are all now going to be the face and the voice of our company. We're going to be the face and the voice of our products and services and programs. We're going to be the faces and the voices of our brands. And it's going to be about not data dump, not YouTube, because the era of YouTube is over, right? YouTube is broadcast one way. We might recycle and repurpose and archive things on YouTube, but the real interaction is going to be like what you and I are doing right here, right now, or on Blab, what four people can be doing on channels like blab.im. It's going to be interactive. It's going to be engaging. It's going to be a two-way, four-way, seven-way, thousand-way conversation with video leading the way. So if you're not into video now, you know, people say, oh, it's too late. I missed out on video. Not at all. This is the time right here, right now, as you're listening to Nick and as you're listening to me, start playing with Facebook Live. Start playing with Blab. Start getting comfortable on video. And if you say, well, I'm not comfortable on video. I don't want to shave. I don't want to get dressed up. You know, I'm not going to tell you what's going on down here because, you know, it's business up top, party down below, sweatpants, no pants, gym shorts. Who cares, right? Video goes from the waist up.
Right.
So I saw, yeah, Nick, you know this because, you know, you follow my crazy Periscopes and Facebooks. Sometimes I'm in a gym shirt.
Yeah.
Sometimes I haven't shaved that day. And so the special message for the ladies, because I know for a fact this is not a, you know, misogynist pig statement, but women especially are very image conscious on video. And it takes them half an hour to do the hair and the makeup and the lipstick and the lighting. And now I'm ready. You got to be ready like this. You got to be the real you, not necessarily beautiful makeup, primped, pumped, sprayed, perfect, right? In fact, the more imperfect the video is, the more approachable you are,
the
more accessible you are, the more profitable your brand is going to be, because you know what they're going to say out there? They're going to say, I love Nick Knight. He keeps it real. I love Nick because he takes me behind the scenes in his business. I love Nick because he shares all these inside track sort of things. And I love Nick because he brings smart experts, present company excluded, smart experts to me that I ordinarily would never have come across. So that's the Nick Empire, and it's going to be driven by video.
Yeah, and I think that what you're saying too is really resonates with the authenticity, which is so important today. You know, you want to be authentic in your message, but also in your persona, in the way you know. I don't pretend to like have all the answers right at the tip of my tongue. If I kind of and him and ha a little bit before I come out with her, I don't cut that stuff out. You know, that's, I'm a real person. I want people to see I'm a real person. I still have struggles. I still have things. I still have to get up. I do have to shave my head, you know, but some days I don't shave them as often as I should. So there you go. I think that all lends to people feeling like they're really talking to a real person and not a made up puppet or somebody who's just so groomed that they've kind of lost that humanity that you want to connect with.
So here's the deal. On the days where you don't shave your head, don't have time, don't feel like it, you're going to be doing a stubble cast.
There.
It's called Stubblecast.
I love
with
it.
Nick Knight.
I like it. Stubblecast. I'm gonna go and get that registered.
Stubblecast.com.
All right. So hey, we're gonna take a quick break because I got a whole bunch more stuff, and I can talk to you all day. You just have so much interesting stuff to share. We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna be back in just a moment with David Newman, author of Do It Marketing, a book that you have to get, and the link will be on the show notes page. And I'll also put a link into the other book. It was called Essentials.
Essentialism.
I'm sorry.
This guy right here.
Okay, Essentialism by Greg McKeown. Yeah. I'll put a link to that as well in the show notes. So make sure we're going to check out these books. But we'll be back in just a moment.
Every good book, by the way, black, white, and red.
You'll get that when you see David's book. Okay, we'll be back in a sec.
Are you looking to learn business strategies from some of the top experts in the world? Or are you looking to earn income as a leading expert yourself? At Revisit, we empower leaders, innovators, and experts to create online learning products that get better over time. Interactive learning products on Revisit remain live connected to the creators, who can add or update the content instantly, offer direct access and feedback, exclusive communities, and even special discounts and offers. Our unique app-based solution means the products you buy or create will remain exclusive and valuable in the hands of paying customers only. So, start learning or start earning at Revisit.com. That's R-E-V-I-Z-Z-I-T.com.
And now, back to the Profitability Show.
Okay, so we're back with David Newman, author of Do It Marketing, and an expert in the world of marketing, particularly if you have something really smart that you want to sell. So we're talking speakers, experts, coaches, consultants. He's the guy that can help you get it out there to the people that you want to reach. And I would like to just kind of start off this section. I have a burning question for you, David. What marketing advice would you give someone, like we just explained, who is just getting started with their own products? Like their, whether their product is selling themselves or selling a digital product, but where should they even start? What should they be thinking about?
I think job number one is going to be tribe building. So finding that specific target market and then cornering them in every possible way, online, offline, find the LinkedIn groups, find the Facebook groups, find the blogs, portals, and communities where they hang out, and start adding value and start building relationships with some of the leaders of those forums and blogs and websites and portals so that you have a relationship building strategy. And then you can partner and add value to their community. And then sooner rather than later, approach them for some sort of joint venture or guest blog posting or somehow accessing their audience and converting them into your audience. And then the second piece of advice would be, as quickly as you can, once you've established some sort of beachhead by doing that, think about one-to-many. One-to-many products like Revisit is fantastic. One-to-many marketing channels like webinars and teleseminars, one-to-many, one-to-many, one-to-many. The mistake I made early on, I think, in my first 3 years in business, everything was one-to-one. Everything was one-to-one, one-to-one. It was exhausting. It was way more time-consuming, you know, and I was thinking too small. I was thinking too small. I wasn't thinking like, I'm running a national business, I'm running a global business. I'm thinking, hey, I'm here in Philadelphia. Let me go down to the chamber and kind of see who's hanging out. And the only people that were hanging out at the chamber were other goofballs, goobers, tire kickers, and insurance salesmen, with all apologies to the insurance industry. But I was thinking small and I was playing small, and that kept me small for too long. And I wasn't featuring and leveraging other people, and I wasn't doing my one-to-many marketing strategies.
I think that's great. And, you know, to kind of touch on that one-to-many strategy, which, you know, part of that has been my great fortune of being able to hang out with you in our mastermind and in person when we get together. You know, it really pushed me forward where for the past 2 years, I have planned on this podcast. For 2 years, I knew that it was a way to have a one-to-many conversation. I knew that I have a lot of really smart people in my network that would, you know, bring value to people, that we could have these conversations like we're having right now. And yet I procrastinated. And, you know, just really being influenced by some of the people that I know that are out there doing stuff, making it happen, including yourself. And I said, you know what? It's time. It's time to get started with this. And so, you know, even a podcast. And let me tell you, podcasts will open doors for you. You know, if you've got a podcast, you can reach out to those people that you think are maybe on a rung above you on the ladder. And you could say, hey, would you like to be a guest? You know, they get to promote what they're talking about. They're promoting themselves. You know, you've now made a friendship and a connection with them. And that boosts your image. So, you know, a podcast is one of the great ways to have that one-to-many relationship. And it's a heck of a lot of fun, I got to say. I really enjoy this. So,
absolutely. And one of the strategies that's in the Do It Marketing book is Why Your Business Needs to Flop, one of the chapters, rather. And FLOP is an acronym for Feature and Leverage Other People. So when you're in the mode of a host, you're hosting a podcast, you're hosting a Facebook Live, you're hosting a Blab show, you have the power of the media. And, you know, one of my little sound bites is, you know, you don't want to worry about getting more media. You want to become the media.
Nice.
You want to become the platform and then invite others to play with you, because that's going to accelerate, right? That's going to accelerate, and it's going to amplify when they start to bring their audience to, hey, I had this fantastic interview with Nick Knight. Here's the link. Go check it out. My 10, 11, 12,000 people are going to flood into your world. And when I'm on revisit, the good news is your people get to flood into my world. And so that's what I mean by having platforms and having opportunities to feature and leverage others. And feature means that you're shining the spotlight on them.
Mm-hmm.
And leverage means that hopefully you're hoping for some reciprocation where they shine the spotlight on you.
That's right. That's right. It's kind of a win-win for everybody. And you know, in you know, all of these things we're talking about, I have to like always remind myself how fortunate we are, because these things are really fun that we get to do now. You know, we get to, you know, take out our phone and do a live broadcast from our phone, and I get to sit down with you and have this conversation. It's fun. I enjoy this. This is the stuff I enjoy. Do I enjoy sitting down and crafting a blog post and finding images for it and, you know, all this? No, it's not so much fun anymore. You know, that becomes kind of work. But there are parts of this that are really, really fun. So, you know, try and find them. And those are the one-to-many strategies, generally speaking. The things that are the most fun, getting up on stage. When I get to go on stage and present a workshop or something, I love that. That's, a great thrill, and it's one-to-many. So you want to really be able to embrace these things that we are so fortunate to live in the time that we do, that, you know, right out of our pocket, we can pull out our phone and start this as a marketing channel.
Yeah.
Let me jump now to one of my favorite parts of the show, where I get to ask you about your business specifically. So now we're gonna put you under the microscope and just ask you. So David Newman is a marketing consultant and expert. How does that business get monetized? Like, what are your revenue streams? How do you earn your income? What are the channels?
Primarily drugs and money laundering.
I knew it.
Yeah, this whole consulting, online products, digital products, that's a front.
It's totally
just a front for the drug money I bring in. Now, you're the first to see, this is the hallmark of a great interview, because I've done hundreds of interviews, and this is the first time I've ever revealed that.
See? So I like to really peel back the layers of the onion.
So before the FBI and the NSA and the SWAT teams break down my door, let me say, I'm kidding. That's not really true. So how do I monetize my business? Well, it is, and it's funny, you keep referring to this consultant thing. And I used to be a consultant. And now I look at myself more as an online marketer. So I do group coaching. Which, you know, either live led or recorded, and then we do kind of a flip the classroom kind of mentoring and coaching program for 5 weeks or 7 weeks. I have online courses. I have communities that I've built. So I have a thing called the Do It Marketing Accelerator Program, which is the monthly mastermind, sort of an entry level mastermind, very lightweight. And then I have a very heavy duty, very in depth. Mastermind on the other end of the spectrum called the Do It Platinum Program, the Do It Marketing Platinum Membership, where we have 3 in-person meetings, weekly calls, really roll up our sleeves and get into people's business. And there's 16 people in that program. So, you know, the way that I make money is, it's, you know, you have to think about it in terms of Goldilocks, right? So there's small, medium, large, and supersize, okay. Right? The porridge, little porridge, medium porridge is for mama bear, and big porridge is for papa bear. And I play in all 3 pools of porridge, I guess. So, you know, I'm a huge believer in having an accessible what I call a gateway drug. So a gateway drug is, there's a lot of free stuff that's going to be a gateway drug. And then my least expensive courses are less than $1,000. And again, you know, expensive is relative to your marketplace and to your value proposition and so forth. But for me, that's the kind of the least expensive thing that I do. Then I have my tier 2 is my $5,000 or $6,000 more mentoring and coaching type of programs that go from 8 weeks to 12 weeks. And then this Do It Platinum program is like a $25,000 year-long program where we go deep, we go big, we really, you know, shake people up, turn them upside down, and then send them off on a whole new direction, much bigger game, much bigger platform, much bigger monetization opportunities for them. So those are my main revenue streams. I still do some paid professional speaking, not a lot, because my preferred business model has really become over the last 3-5 years this online one-to-many. But I still speak maybe 6 to 8 times a year. And then the one-on-one coaching and consulting, for all intents and purposes, is gone. When I do offer it, it's crazy expensive, and I only offer it when people say, well, I don't want the small porridge, I don't want the medium, I don't want the large, I really want you. And I say, well, you know, that's going to be pretty pricey. And they say, I don't care, that's what I want, that's what I need. And I'll pull that program out of mothballs, maybe 1 or 2 or 3 people a year. But I'm really trying to turn that off. Now, interesting thing, let's talk about money in a different way. Here's how I turn this off. And I'll give you the very quick progression of this. I think it'll be massively helpful to the folks watching and listening.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
I started out doing coaching and consulting, 2002, $125 an hour.
Okay.
It was hourly.
Yikes.
I'm cringing as I admit that to you. It was $125 an hour. Then it was $150. Then it was $250. And I kept on ratcheting it up. Then I said, well, this is silly. This is just goofy. And I had a couple of clients that ended up, their bill was around $2,000 or $3,000 a month. So I said, well, let's disconnect the hours from the dollars. And let's do $1,000 a month flat fee. Because I'm here to help you. I'm not here to run the meter and turn on the stopwatch. And, you know, I'm not running the time clock. I call that taxi meter pricing. I'm not running a taxi service. I'm not interested in running the meter. I'm interested in getting you to your destination. So now it's $1,000 a month. And that was a $12,000 annual program. People poured into that. Then I said, well, wait a second. This is 3-4 years later. I said, you know, I could even make more money if I charged $1,500 a month and just did smaller chunks. So a 90-day program, $4,500. Sold a lot of that. That was huge. That was years and years. Then I said, okay, let's move this to $5,500. Then I said, okay, let's move this to $75. People kept on buying it. Now, around 2013, I started to say, I really want to turn this off. But again, I'm a slow study. So instead of taking it off my website and simply saying, no, I don't do that anymore, I said, let's see what happens if I crank it up to $8,500. I remember this, it was October of 2013. I talked to 3 people that month who were interested in one-on-one. And I said, well, and I remember now, the psychology is I didn't want to sell it to them. I wanted to turn this off, put this away, never look at it again.
This is the power of no right now.
Oh, my God. And how? So you know this story. But I said, it's, you know, I'm not sure if you're a great fit. It's really expensive, blah, 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 blah. I tried to unsell them. I tried to push them away.
No better way to sell them to unsell them.
$8,500. Had 3 prospects. Made 3 sales that month, $8,500 each. So that's what, $25,500. And I said, well, I guess I'm not turning this off till January.
Right.
And then in January, it was $9,500. People kept coming. They kept, not in as the much volume, but I sold a few, quite a few actually, 3, 4, 5, 6, at $9,500. And now it's $12,500. And it's still 90 days and it's still me. But it's not work that I want to do unless it's really the right fit. Not only the right fit, I would say the perfect fit. And the perfect fit, as it turns out, is happy to pay whatever the hell I would charge. I could probably charge $20,000. That would really turn it off, I think. That would really turn it off. I mean, there is a limit, right? But the lesson is when I jumped to $8,500, said I really don't want to do this anymore, and people just jumped into my fishing net. So when you're looking at the pricing and the value and the kinds of prospects that you want to attract, here's a soundbite for you. Premium pricing attracts premium clients. Period. End of sentence. If you're not getting the clients that you want now, oh, they're broke-ass losers, they're stingy, they're cheap, they're high maintenance, they're complainers. What a lot of people do is, oh, I have to lower my prices. Because no one's going to pay these higher prices, and all I'm getting is these real pain in the butt clients. Opposite is true. You do not want to lower your prices. You want to raise your prices, because then you will raise the quality and the caliber of the kind of clients you attract.
That's fantastic. And you know what also happens when you raise that price point, not only does that attract, you're getting the premium price now, so you're making more money for less, let's call it work, but right, so you've got less clients that are paying more money, so that makes sense. The other thing you're doing is you're minimizing the support side of things, because when you get those higher level clients, they come with a much smaller suitcase of problems. You know,
and they love you and they respect you. Yes. And more importantly, they implement what you recommend. So the more they pay, the more they listen. The more they listen, the more they implement. The more they implement, the more results they get. Then the more they repeat and the more they refer. Because obviously, if you're financially invested in the outcome, right, you're going to be financially invested in doing the work to get the result. So all of my high ticket clients are wonderful. I love them all 100%. There's no jerks. There's no egomaniacs. There's no complainers. There's no whiners. There's no refunders. There's no goofballs. And when I was charging less, we're not naming names, friends. But when I was charging less, I had a few goofball clients.
Yeah.
And one of the things I put in the Do It Marketing book is your 9-point GPS. And it's called goofball prevention screening. So when you have a prospect coming into your door, how do I tell if this person is going to be a goofball client or a great client? There's a 9-point checklist in the Do It Marketing book.
Love it.
That will help you immediately filter and sort those people. And if you're getting too many goofballs, again, the answer is raise your prices.
Yeah. Now, and I think that this is an important time to say that for those of you who are just kind of getting your game going and getting started and stuff, we completely understand it's really hard to say no.
For
you know,
sure.
When you're hungry and you've got a client and you know you can close that deal, you know, it's really, really hard to say no. But just keep in mind that when you say yes to that lower client because you're getting things going, the problems that will come with that client are not indicative of the business that you've set out for yourself. It's going to get better and you're going to make more. So, you know, keep it in perspective. When you sell yourself a little on the lower side at first, you know, hey, even speaking, right? If you know, we go out and we do these speaking jobs. And, you know, the low-paying speaking jobs, what happens generally? You have terrible sound. Oh, we didn't really have a place for a stage, so we're just going to have you stand here in the cafeteria. You know, it's like those kind of jobs, right? You get, you know, basically you get treated as you got paid. So, you know, keep that in mind. We all have to start somewhere, but it will get better. It doesn't get worse. So I'm going to jump now to the big hook of the show. We need to know what David Newman's profit abilities are. So again, for those of you who are just joining the show, you haven't listened to it before, we define profitability, and this is the profitability show, as that thing that we can go to as businessmen, as executives, as leaders. What is that thing that we can do that will equal more money in the bank? If I do more of this, it puts more profit in the bank. And in the past, I've expanded the term profit because we've talked to some people that are in businesses that aren't necessarily focused on the cash flow, nonprofit organizations, things like that. They might look at profit being in different ways. So you could be profiting by having more time to spend with your family, or you could be profiting by, if I do more of this, that means I get a vacation every year. Well, you can define profit as what that's important to you. But as a rule, I like to talk about profit in terms of revenue as well. So if you've got some profit abilities, we would love to hear them.
Well, I think the number one thing, it's a great framing soundbite around what, if you do more of this, you make more profit, or you have more impact, or you have more of what the result is that you want. And in my case, it's money, by the way. So I'm not one of those, oh, money's not that important.
Excellent.
You know, money is super important, because here's the deal. Money is often the indicator, right? Money is the lagging indicator of your influence and your impact and your value. So I will often have clients, when I'm drilling away at why aren't you making more money? Why don't you charge more for this? Money, money, money. You know, idea, idea, idea. They said, well, David, hang on. Why is it always about the money? I said, well, it's not always about the money. But without the money, it's nothing. So that's my little soundbite about that.
That's right.
But the thing that I do, if I want to make more money this afternoon, I would do a webinar, or I would somehow show my face, either in a video or in a webinar format. I would show up in my marketplace, and I would use four words. Here's your four-word formula: offer value and invite engagement. Offer value and invite engagement. So if I do a one-hour webinar, it is packed with value, strategies, tactics, tips, tools. People that have been on my webinars and have never bought anything from me, they send me thank you notes. They send me thank you cards. They've literally sent me checks.
Wow.
Not checks to buy my product or service. A $100 check, say, well, I can't afford your full program, but thank you so much for all the value in your free content.
That's
Can you imagine?
I've never heard of that.
Check.
That's fantastic.
A check in the mail with a beautiful handwritten note. Now, the good news is this didn't cost this guy a penny because, of course, the check is framed, right? It's framed in my office here. And I'm never going to cash that check. I'm never going to throw away that card. So he has an outstanding check. He might as well just write void on it because I'm not going to cash the $100. But that is so awesome. So show your face, show your voice. When I say offer value, what I mean is teach. Teach, show, share, entertain, inform, benefit your audience in some tangible way. And then when I say invite engagement, it's not always, hey, buy my stuff, buy my program, download my thing. It could be simply, hey, share this with someone. Hey, subscribe, opt in, share, click, like, recommend, whatever it is. You know, click on here for a free half-hour strategy session with me. If I can help you, great. We'll talk about that. If not, you'll get two or three great ideas you can use anyway. So offer value, invite engagement. That's been my whole business model for the last 3-4 years when I started doing the webinars and the teleseminars. I do just a huge fire hose of immediately actionable content. And then I invite people to enroll in the full-blown program that gives them the entire roadmap, the entire 6, 7, 8, 10 hours of content with my coaching, with my templates, tools, scripts, and mentoring so that they can really move the needle on their results. So if you pointed a gun to my head, which I hope you don't, and you said you have to make $10,000 by 5 p.m. today, I would put together a webinar, I would put together something to say, and during that, I would invite people into something I have to sell. And I would probably make that $10,000 to save my life because I'd have to. I don't want to be dead. So that, and I think the part of that, forget the money part for a second. I think you have to have your go-to strategy. For some people, I love what you said earlier, Nick. For some people, it's writing. For some people, it's audio. For some people, it's video. For some people, it's webinars. If you love webinars, if you love doing what we're doing, if you love teaching, then you should be doing this. If you love face-to-face, you know, you don't love technology, you don't love video, you love face-to-face, go in your community. Go in your community right now. There are people, there are members of your target market that are meeting somewhere at a trade group, a professional association, a networking group, a chamber of commerce. They're somewhere out there. You love shaking hands and kissing babies, which I hate, by the way. I hate walking in a room full of strangers. But if you love networking strategies, use networking. If you love technology strategies, use technology. If you love writing strategies, use writing. If you love speaking strategies, use speaking. One of my sound bites, Nick, is your profitability. And I love that term. I can't steal it because it's yours. But it's always going to be the marketing tasks that you find easy, effortless, and enjoyable. So Nick has a podcast. Nick's doing these videos. You go, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. You know, I don't like that. I don't like tech. I'm not sure how to even set up my webcam. You know, I'm not a techie person, but man, I love going out and meeting new people. Or I love talking into a microphone, no video, right? Turn off the video, no video. But man, I just love talking. I was born for podcasting. I was born for radio. I was born for having audio downloads and audio books and audio courses on my topic. Great. But where people get screwed up and they start to lose their profitability is where they see other people doing other things and they say, well, I have to do what David's doing. I have to do what Nick is doing. No, you don't. All you have to do is find the one or two strategies that you find easy, enjoyable, and effortless because those are the only ones that you'll implement and those are the only ones that'll be effective. So do the things that come easily. And then last point on this, because often we say, oh, no, it can't possibly be that simple. That sounds too easy. It has to be harder than that, right? We make it hard. We make it complicated. I use only two strategies overall in my entire business. I use speaking strategies and I use internet strategies. I don't use networking. I hate picking up the phone. Here's my phone. I hate the phone. You will never get a phone call from me. And you'll certainly never get a cold call from me. I hate direct mail. I hate press releases. I hate a whole bunch of things that I'm just never going to do. I hate networking, like I mentioned. The things I love and the things I enjoy and the things I leap out of bed in the morning to do are things like this with you, Nick, and other things that I can do speaking either virtually or to a live group of humans. And that's all I do to run this multi six-figure fabulous empire here with my big book canvas behind me. And the dog is my secretary who's snoring on the sofa, Woofy the Wonder Dog.
That's a good life, my friend.
So yeah, I mean, please don't feel you have to do a million marketing jobs. You have to do two or three really, really well.
And the secret there, as you said, find those things that you enjoy doing, and that makes a big difference, you know. And again, I'm hosting this show, and I'm also a student of this show. I love bringing people like you on. I'm listening to you and going, he's so right. And you know, sometimes you got to bite the bullet. Now, I do have blogs. I do have to do those blog posts. Yes, I could outsource those to somebody else. There's ways around that and stuff. I kind of want it to be my voice. It's sometimes there's work you got to do that you're not going to love. But as a rule, the reason I have a podcast is I like doing this kind of stuff. I like getting up on stage and talking to people. You know, that's the old showbiz guy in me that's, you know, still want to kind of do those things. So that's all good. You know, that's what I'm going to focus on. That's where I'm going to try and, you know, if I've got to spend money or energy on something, I'll spend it on, well, I want to make sure I got a good microphone or I got a whatever, because I want to do more of this. And so I think that's important. Sometimes you got to do the other stuff, but for the big payoff, really focus on those things that you enjoy doing and watch it start to, you know, turn into results. I think that's fantastic. Well, those are great. And, you know, you've had so many profitabilities throughout this whole show, but I love that one at the end. Tell us, what's next for you? What, because you always have something interesting going on. You know, we talk about some of the stuff that we won't talk about here because it's under the cone of silence in our mastermind group. But one of the things that impresses me about you is you've always got some really cool idea. And it's like, I just want to see you do all of those things. So what have you decided is the thing that you're going to pursue, or what's coming up for you? What's down the road?
Well, so the two new exciting areas that I'm going to add to my portfolio, and again, all of this is aimed at speakers, authors, consultants, coaches, solo professionals, independent experts. The two areas that I have not yet addressed, even though I practice them every single day, but I'm getting a lot of demand for, David, list building. Talk to me about list building. Talk to me about lead generation, online, offline. How do I do that initial tribe building so that I have an audience, right? If we're living in the attention economy, trying to get attention from zero people can be tough. But getting zero, but getting attention from 100 people, getting attention from 1,000 people, now you start to have some platform. Now you start to have some business. So I'm super excited about a new list building or lead generation course. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to call it. And then the next thing that's probably even before that is a copywriting course.
Wow.
It does not exist yet. You can't go there. You can't buy it. But it's going to be called the Smart Copy Workshop. Because again, one of the main things that separates people who get hired and people that get bought from versus people who don't get hired and people who don't get bought from is, how do we articulate the fabulousness of what we do? How do we articulate the fabulousness of our products and services and programs and all of our investable opportunities? And people have great stuff out there. But the marketing copy, what they actually write on the website, what they put in their emails, mm-hmm. what they put in their headlines or subject lines or blog titles, it's just terrible. And copywriting, I've done a lot of copywriting kind of on the sly for people. So I'm the secret weapon of some, you know, some names that we might know. They say, hey, can you revise my website copy? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I've been doing this years and years and years ago. And I'm also a student of copywriting as well as a teacher of this, but I've never done a course on it. So that's coming up. And then what I would offer every single one of our listeners is, because you're listening to Nick on the Profitability Show, as you know, we've mentioned a couple times my Do It Marketing book. It comes with over $700 of bonuses. And even without buying the book, I'm going to let you in the back door, even without buying the book. So if you go to doitmarketing.com/book, it's going to ask you for your name and your email and your Amazon receipt number. If you put in the special code PROFIT, right, P-R-O-F-I-T, PROFIT, like the first half of the word profitability, right, put in your name, email, and the word PROFIT, at doitmarketing.com/book, you will get immediate access to all of those book bonuses, all the supplementary tools, all the templates, all the scripts that come with the book. You might even say, hey, this bonus stuff is pretty good. Maybe I should buy the book, but you don't have to buy the book. You will get the bonuses regardless just for being a listener and a viewer of Nick.
I did not know that you had that offer going. That is so cool. I appreciate that.
I'm being sneaky. I'm offering added value to your peeps.
I love it. I love it. That's fantastic. Well, I would say that I hope a lot of you go to David's website and enter the word profit, or even better, enter your actual Amazon receipt, because the book is fantastic. It's easy to read. You know, you don't have to sit from beginning to end to get the, you can just poke around at the different things that you want. You know, look at the table of contents, find the strategy, you go, oh, that's exciting, and read about that. They're great little chunks of information that you can take action. It says instant action. That's totally true. Start doing it today and change your business. So that is great. David, where else can our listeners find out about you? Like, if somebody's on this listening to this show and they say, you know what, this guy sounds pretty smart, he might be able to help my business out, I might want to join one of his group plans, his coaching plans, or something like that. How would they do that? Where do they find you?
Sure. So the whole empire is at doitmarketing.com, D-O-I-T, marketing.com, doitmarketing. The bonus, by the way, is at doitmarketing.com/book. So that's the landing page for the book, and that's where you get the book bonuses, and you put in the word profit in there with your contact info. But yeah, I mean, hang out on the blog. You know, you can watch me on Twitter or Blab at D Newman, D-N-E-W-M-A-N. And, you know, I'm a huge believer in, again, offer value, invite engagement. So even before we talk about doing anything together, marinate in all my free content, some of the free downloads and the free webinars and all kinds of things that are available just at doitmarketing.com.
And definitely, for those listening, you want to go follow David on Twitter, because once you follow him on Twitter, you can then find him on Periscope, and he has very entertaining Periscopes. I'll just say that for him. I don't even know if you still like doing Periscopes, but I just get such a kick out of your Periscopes that I'm just going to plug them anyway. So you want to follow him on Twitter and check out his Periscopes. And you know, what's great is he engages with you there. So, you know, he knows how to use the platform. So if you've got a question you want to ask him, you know, tune into his Periscope, type in the question in the little chat box. He'll talk to you. It's, you know, live time with David, and that's got a high value. So, David, it's been so great having you on the show. Just so much value. We appreciate it.
Great to be here. Thanks, Nick.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to learn more profit abilities, go to profitabilityshow.com for episodes, show notes, and more. And be sure to click the subscribe button to get the latest episodes delivered straight to your favorite device.